Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Davis. This is the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount South, the 12th Hour in Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is June 14, 2016. All right, it is the 10th day of the 4th month, 2020. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, There is Power in the Blood. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Yahshua your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. One shepherd to accomplish what a multitude of them failed to accomplish. So the name of our study today, one shepherd, is the name of our study. And a typical David. So the title will be One Shepherd and a Typical David. To accomplish what a multitude of them failed to accomplish, Text of Exodus by the V.T. Audit, August 16, 1947, we're going to first defer to a prayer thought taken from Ezekiel chapter 8. And that would be, start with verse 1. Ezekiel sees idols and abominations. And it came to pass in the sixth year and the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Yahweh fell there upon me. And I beheld, and lo, a likeness, as the appearance of a fire from the appearance of his loins even downward, fire and from his loins even upward, as the appearance of the brightness as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of a hand, and took me by a lock of mine head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of Elohim unto Jerusalem, unto the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north. Where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoked to jealousy? And behold, the glory of the Elohim of Israel was there according unto the vision that I saw in the plain. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now toward the north. So I lifted up my eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abomination that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary, but turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abomination? And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, the Yahweh seeth us not, the Yahweh hath forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Yahweh's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Yahweh's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Yahweh, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Yahweh and their faces toward the east, and they worshipped the sun toward the east. Then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing unto the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the house with violence, they have filled the land with violence, and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put their branch to their nose. Now you see this right here in verse 17. It says, then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abomination which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger. Where they returned from? They returned from Babylon. They just got delivered from Babylon. And Cyrus had just delivered them and sent them and brought them back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and to set up true worship again. And what did they do? By the time they got to when Yahshua came, about 500 years later, what had they done? They went back to their own wallowing in the hog wallow. So they returned. They had returned to provoke me to anger, and lo, they put the branch to their nose. Well, the branch was Yahshua. That's what they're talking about. When did Yahshua come at the cross? That's when they put the branch to their nose. Well, what happened in the Antichrist? At Kermit, Texas, 2002, Gordon Johnson and company, they put the branch to their nose. He had the branch for 33 years, and then he ended up putting it to his nose. He said, no, this wasn't the right one after all, he said. Didn't work out the way I prophesied it, so this wasn't the right branch after all, that's what Rhoda said. So, type and a type. Okay. Verse 18. Therefore will I also deal in fury. My eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine is with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. And then that ends chapter 8, and then it goes into Ezekiel chapter 9. And that's where we left off in our last study, was Ezekiel chapter 9. And there in Town of Greetings, volume 1, number 52. Volume 1, number 52. And I had read that to you, starting with I read Ezekiel 9, 1 through 6 in there, and I left off there on page 18, and I think I'll just go ahead and pick up and finish reading that, since the prayer thought gave us Ezekiel 8, leading right into Ezekiel 9. And so it says, well, I'll just reread Ezekiel 9, 1 to 6. He cried also in mine ear, see. And left off crying there in chapter 8. It says, therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. And then Yahweh judges the iniquities, okay. So Ezekiel 9 starts with Yahweh judging the iniquities that the prophet Ezekiel saw going on there. So it starts with verse 1. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, and with a rider's inkhorn by his side. Of course, there were six men, and one man had a rider's inkhorn. Now, any other time, it called these six angels, and that's what they were. Because it said they come from the way of the higher gate, which lies toward the north. There were six angels. And one man among them was clothed with linen. So one of the angels was clothed with linen. And I used to teach that this was Yahshua. But I believe that we're going to find that this is not Yahshua, this man clothed in linen, with the rider's inkhorn by his side. He was no doubt the leading angel of the six. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar, and the glory of the Elohim of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called on the man clothed with linen, which had the rider's inkhorn by his side. And Yahweh said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the forehead of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And unto the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite, that not your eyes spare, neither have your pity. Say utterly old and young, both maids and little children, but and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. So that began at the ancient men before the house. And it says that then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. And that prophecy met its fulfillment in reality starting in 2002 at Kermit, Texas. It's just, we keep reiterating this, but every time we do this subject on Ezekiel 8 and 9, we have to bring in the names of the ones that fulfill these prophecies here in the end time. Because we got a lot of new people coming on the scene. And when they hear these sermons that is left on record, they're going to be hearing these things for the first time. I know this is old hat to Jeff White and them in Africa to hear this over and over. But you got a lot of new people that need going to hear this for the first time. That's why we do this. So it says, note that the command of the Yahweh unto the angels in charge are for the slaying of the sinners in Jerusalem. in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, not in the world. So you see, Jerusalem is another name for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Only the abomination-hating ones, those who receive the mark for the sign and crown against the wrongs, are to be left. Okay, the day Ezekiel had this vision in Babylon, Jerusalem had already been in captivity and emptied of its people for years. See Ezekiel 1:1 and 8:7. No such a purification or cleansing as here described ever took place in Ezekiel's day or in the annals of the church since his day. It is therefore certain that the prophecy is yet to be fulfilled. Inspiration in our day, moreover, puts this foreseen cleansing still in the future and makes this explanation. Inspiration in our day, moreover, puts this foreseen cleansing still in the future and makes this explanation. The class who do not feel greed over their own spiritual declension, nor mourn over the sins of others, will be left without the seal of Yahweh. Yahweh commissions his messengers, the men with the slaughtering weapons in their hands, and go ye after him through the city and smite, let not your eyes spare. Now they have you pity, slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children, and come and women, but come not near any man upon whom is a mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they begin at the ancient men which were before the house. Here we see that the church, the Yahweh's sanctuary, was the first to feel the stroke of the wrath of Yahweh. The ancient men, those under whom Elohim had given great light and who had stood as guardians of the spiritual interests of the people, said the Spirit of Yahweh, had betrayed their trust. Testimonies to the Church, Volume 5, page 11. The enemies of Yahweh, you know, have taken possession of the churches. But soon the table will be turned, and the servants of the devil will be no more, they will fall and not be found. The people, you note, are deceived by the ancient men who have betrayed their trust. Rhodes Johnson was one of these ancient men. Ben Roden was one of these ancient men. And the General Conference ministers and presidents and officers in all levels of Adventism all over the world have betrayed their trust. Not all of them, but a lot of them, most of them. You well know that the prophets, the apostles, Yahshua, Messiah, and the reformers were all in their times railed against and taunted as offshoots, but we thank Yahweh that the offshoots and the truth, not the dead tops, triumph. They, the ancient men, okay, had taken the position that we need not look for miracles and the manifestation of Yahweh's power as in the former days. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 11. Ellen G. White was referring to the Seventh-day Adventist General Conference leaders here. He says this is what she referred to as the ancient men, the oldest ones, the first one, and so, and the last ones in charge of the candlestick in her day. Well, the same thing is that a day is progression. Okay? It's not this now the position of the ancient man. Well, it's exactly the position that Rhodes Johnson held. Are they not now crying as peace and safety? Are they not now preaching that Ezekiel 9 is not now to take place and that it is not to take place in the church, that this message is a false alarm? What does it take to awaken a dreaming, sleeping, or a sleeper? They are dreaming that. Times have changed. These words strengthen their unbelief, and they say the Yahweh will not do good, neither will it do evil. Elohim will not slay his people. The church is his most precious object on earth, they say. Of course the church is his most precious object on earth, and that is just exactly why he is to cleanse it. That is why he is to slay the wicked in the midst of her. and still preserve the pendant so that he may have the church clean without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, Ephesians 5:27. Thus peace and safety is a cry for men who will never again lift up their voice like a trumpet to show Yahweh's people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. These dumb dogs that would not bark are the ones who feel the just vengeance of an offended Elohim. Men, maidens, and little children all perish together. Testimony, Volume 5, page 211. Continuing further, the spirit of Elohim adds, who are standing in the council of Yahweh at this time? Is it those who virtually excuse wrongs among the professed people of Yahweh and who murmur in their hearts if not openly against those who would reprove sin? Is it those who take their stand against them and sympathize with those who commit wrong? No, indeed. Unless they repent and leave the work of Satan in oppressing those who have the burden of the work and in holding up the hands of sinners in Zion, they will never receive the mark of Elohim's seal and approval. They will fall in the general destruction of the wicked, represented by the work of the five men bearing slaughter weapons. Mark this point with care. Those who receive the pure mark of the truth, wrought in them by the power of the Holy Spirit, represented by a mark by the man in linen, or those that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the church. Their love for the purity and the honor and glory of Yahweh is such, and they have so clear a view of the exceeding sinfulness of sin, that they are represented as being in agony, even sighing and crying read the 9th chapter of Ezekiel. Then says the Spirit, but the general slaughter of all those who do not thus see the wide contrast between sin and righteousness, and do not feel as those who stand in the council of Yahweh and receive the mark, is described in the order to the five men with the slaughter weapon. Go you after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes stir now to have your pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is a mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Testimonies, Volume 3, page 267. Here are shown two classes in the church, the faithful and the unfaithful. Those who view sin as sin and those who view it as fun. Also, it is seen that the church has a closing work, a work that must be done especially for her, not for the world. In addition, it reveals that the closing work for the church is the sealing of the 144,000, that they therefore are the ones who will feel most deeply the wrongs among Elohim's professed people. Ezekiel 9:7-11, and he said unto me, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth, and they went forth and slew in the city. And it came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, O Yahweh Elohim, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel, and thou pour out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, the Yahweh has forsaken the earth, and the Yahweh seeth not, and as for me also, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, that I will recompense their way upon their head. And behold, the man covered the linen which had the inkhorn by his side reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. When is this separation of the wicked from among the righteous to take place? Yahshua places it in the end of the world, says he, that both grow together until the harvest. Well, the harvest is the beginning of the end of the world, not the end of the end of the world. And in the time of the harvest, I will say unto the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. Matthew 13:30, 47-48. As tares they are burned, as bad fish they are cast out. This is the way in which the kingdom comes, says the Yahshua. And what is the harvest, if not the judgment for the living? The work which separates the one from the other? Well, that's what happened down there in Germany. I never thought I'd ever live through a judgment scene where I was literally separated visibly from the preacher and most of the congregation, and isolated and cast out as an enemy, and be a brother for 33 years, and I mean worship together for 33 years as one body, and then all of a sudden the day comes when they turn on you and they hate you and they cast you out of their midst and call you an enemy. I never thought that would ever happen. And above all things, working and standing up for the truth. But you know, I stood up for the truth in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I separated from all my friends and members of the Adventist Church whenever I accepted the truth of the Gilead Center, Brother Johnson. When I accepted the truth that he taught, and that made me an enemy automatically to the Adventist Church. All of my friends and all of my members of the church, I was a member, and my name is still on the membership roll there at the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Hanley there in Fort Worth, Texas area. Went on there about 1967 when my name went on the rolls there. And they told me they're never going to take my name off the roll because I was just a separated brother, and that I'll be back one day. So they're just going to leave it there. I got letters many, many years after I left there from them, telling me that I was in good standing with them. Yeah, boy. It says, let both grow together until the harvest. And I said, in the time of the harvest, I was saying to the reapers, gather ye first together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat in my barn. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea. See, now the kingdom of heaven is in two different phases here. The judgment of the living for the first fruits and the judgment of the living for the second fruit. Okay. As the tares, they are burned as bad fish. They are cast out. This is the way in which the kingdom comes, says the Yahshua. And what is the harvest, if not the judgment for the living, the work which separates the one from the other? Okay. So that's what happened. We were separated one from another. So that's what was going on. The harvest was beginning. The true people of Yahweh, says inspiration, who have the spirit of the work of the Yahweh and the salvation of souls at heart, whatever view sin in its real sinful character, they will always be on the sides of faithful and plain dealing with sins which easily beset the people of Yahweh, especially in the clothing works of the church, in the sealing time of the 144,000, who are to stand without fault before the throne of Elohim, where they feel most deeply the wrongs of Elohim's professed people. Okay, I've already read this, but it's worth reading again. It says, this is forcibly set forth by the prophet's illustration of the last work under the figure of the men, each having a slaughter weapon in his hand. Okay, that's Testimony of Volume 3266. Okay, now the subject of 144,000 stands out brighter than ever before. Now you can clearly see that those who escape the slaughter foreseen in Ezekiel 9 are the 144,000, the future servants of the Yahweh, the first fruits of the harvest, resulting from the cleansing of the sanctuary at the Kermit, Texas, 2002, Gilead Center. The work of the investigative judgment of the living has started there. This work and this truth, therefore, are the most important for the dead, and should wholeheartedly be heeded if one expects to receive the mark and the seal and escape the slaughter, survive the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh, or neglect to sigh and cry for the abominations in the church, would mean our eternal loss. We dare not allow anything to divert our attention from this quest and glorious work for the saints and most dreadful and inglorious for the sinner. This work must engross the whole mind, the whole attention. Early Writings 1:18. Nothing should be allowed to interfere with your eternal welfare. No, not for a moment, for the day is far spent. What friends, relatives, husbands, wives, you are not to lose them with yourself. If this truth fails to convince you and them, but the promise to the faithful is, for your shame you shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be under them. Isaiah 61:7. Do you, brother, sister, actually comprehend, actually realize the crisis as outlined here? Do you see the prediction that the sealing message is to be resisted by those who foster the abominations? Isn't this terrible? Well, I witnessed firsthand the ancient man before the house and the people he had influence over, starting with his family, resisted the sealing message, because they had a love of fostering the abominations and this idolatry, and especially this birthday celebration among themselves. Brother Johnson just flat brought that book back to us one day, the Abominations book, that we gave them to read. They read it for 3 weeks. They brought it back and they said, "Yeah, we know what it says, but we're going to continue doing birthdays." Are you with them? I hope not. Is there then any question that if the heathen are left ignorant of this cleansing work that Elohim is about to do among his people? I say, if they be left ignorant of it, will they not fall in the general destruction of the wicked, represented by the work of the 5 men bearing slaughter weapon? You see the key word here? Ignorant. Now, Donald Trump, he has a key word that he used in his message today for Obama. He said it's ignorance. Closing your eyes to the ignorance is not going to get it, he said. Obviously, all the sinners in the church will perish. And this slaughter of the wicked, be they men, women, or children, parents who continue to serve the devil will have their little ones with them in hell, and parents who break away from abomination will have their little ones with them in the kingdom, starting here on earth first, see? Where do you stand? Are you with those who have the burden of this work, or are you against them? This, you see, is the decisive hour for you, for me. Mark this point with care. Counsels the spirit of Elohim. Those who receive the pure mark of the truth wrought in them by the power of the Holy Spirit, represented by and marked by the man in linen, are those that sigh and that cry for all the abominations to be done in the midst or in the church. Their love for the purity and the honor and the glory of the Elohim is such, and they have so clear a view of exceeding sinfulness of sin, that they are represented as being in agony, even sighing and crying. Read the 9th chapter of Ezekiel, Testimony, Volume 3, page 267. Who are the true Seventh-day Adventists at this crucial moment? Those who resist the closing work for the church, or those who put their heart and soul into it? Let us face the situation honestly and sincerely. Let us anoint our eyes with this heavenly eye salve that we might see and know what the truth is. Only those who repent and promote the message of the hour rather than fight against it will stand with the Lamb on the Mount Zion. Let me read again. And the time when his wrath shall go forth in the judgment, these humble, devoted followers of Yahshua will be distinguished from the rest of the world by their soul's anguish, which is expressed in lamentation and weeping, reproof, and warning. While others try to throw a cloak over the existing evil and excuse the great wickedness everywhere prevalent, those who have a zeal for Elohim's honor and a love for souls will not hold their peace to obtain favor of any. For their righteous souls are vexed day by day with the unholy works and conversation of the unrighteous. They are powerless to stop the rushing torrent of iniquity, and hence they are filled with the grief and alarm. They mourn before Elohim to see the religion despised and the very homes of those who have had great life. They lament and afflict their souls because pride, avarice, selfishness, and deception of almost every kind are in the church. For the spirit of Elohim, which prompts to reproof, is trampled underfoot while the servants of the Satan's triumphs. No longer serve Satan, no longer fight Yahweh's truth against your own interest. The spirit of prophecy in these lines has made it as plain as it can be made that when the seed and message is brought to the attention of the people, the servants of the devil will temporarily triumph, while Elohim's servant and his truth for a time will be trampled underfoot by those who control the churches. This evil work you are all aware of is already in the progress. The ministering brethren are already fighting their message instead of teaching it. The pulpits are occupied by men who Sabbath after Sabbath stage tirade against this truth. The truth is judgment for the living. As the prophet, gospel prophet in chapter 36 was also given light on this subject, we shall turn to it. Isaiah 6:15-19. For behold, the Yahweh will come as fire and with his chariots, like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with the flames of fire. For by the fire and by his sword will the Yahweh plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Yahweh shall be many. They have sanctified themselves and purified themselves in the garden, and that's in the places of worship behind one tree. That's following the leader. In the midst, eating swine's flesh, and the abomination and the mouth shall be consumed together, saith Yahweh. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations of Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal, and Avan, to the isles of Pharos, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. Here it is reiterated that the slaying takes place in the church among those who are well acquainted with the things of Yahweh, so much so that those who escape are sent to declare his glory and his fame among the Gentiles. Moreover, the very fact that the Gentiles are not slain, but are to be taught of Elohim after the slaying takes place, positively shows that the slaying takes place in the church only, and before probation closes, for the Gentiles to repeat, those who escape the slain are sent to preach salvation unto the Gentiles, Isaiah 6:20. And they, the escaped ones, says the scripture, shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Yahweh out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots and in litters and upon mules and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Yahweh. As the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel into the house of Yahweh. Since 144,000 are the first fruits and also the servants of Yahweh, and are of both the antitypical house of Judah and of Israel, they must be the escaped and the sent one. Those whom they bring to the house of Yahweh out of all nations, Revelation 7:9, must therefore be the second fruits. The former are the fruits from the church, and the latter the fruits from the Gentiles. See Revelation 7:2-9. In order to hush the truth, the ancients in their wickedness and ignorance now teach the laity that the subject of the 144,000 is a moot question, rather than revealed truth. The devil would have it thus, so that the people might fall under the slaughter weapons of the angels. What folly! And what a hold the devil has on the men that control the churches. Are they not deceiving the very elect 144,000? This is truly the time for you to come to the help of the Yahweh against the mighty, if you are to receive Elohim's mark of approval, and if you are to escape the slaughter weapons of the angel. if you are to be left, if you are to be one of the remnant. There has never been made so great an effort to awaken any people in any age as the effort of today. Hundreds and thousands, yes, millions of booklets have been scattered throughout the denomination. These have been going now for over a decade. Truly, it can ever now be said of the church. Woe unto you, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Basidia. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And now Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, as Sister Christ says in another place, she quoted this, and thou Capernaum, Seventh-day Adventist, parentheses, she said, which are exalted unto heaven. Well, the only part of the Adventist church that was exalted unto heaven was Gilead Center, because they had the sanctuary restored unto them, unto us, there at Gilead Center, and that put us closer to heaven than any part of the Adventist church. And shall be brought down to hell. So it's talking about, and thou Capernaum, Seventh-day Adventist, with your last headquarters at Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, 2002, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. That's the reason why judgment started there at the ancient and for the house, because they were the branch of the church that was exalted unto heaven. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Matthew 11:21-24. Well, Sodom was never exalted unto heaven. The Gilead Center was exalted unto heaven, and Gilead Center renounced their exaltation, and they became like Sodom and Gomorrah. So that's the reason why that statement was made here. The devil today, you see, has the people deeper in the pit than he had them in the days of Yahshua, for in the days of the Luther, or in the days of the Luther. For the Yahshua's victory, though, and the victory of those who escaped from the pit, shall be just that much more glorious. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Yahshua. And thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken, Isaiah 62:12. Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, O Judah, keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vow, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee, he is utterly cut off. Nahum 1:15. For the wicked in the church, you know, have finally come to their end, with which company do you stand? With those who close their eyes to this truth, or with those who endeavor to bring it to the front? You judge your own case. So I'll say to you, Jeff White, Africa, this would be a good study to give to new people and your people that are new coming in. They start to come in. Give them this study that I just gave on this Ezekiel 9, especially Ezekiel 8 and 9. All right, we're through with number 52. Let's go into... let's skip number 53, I think. No. That's Time of Greeting, Volume 1, number 52. Now let's go into Time of Greeting, number 2, Volume 2. And, I'll tell you what, let's just go ahead. We'll take that one shepherd to accomplish what a multitude of them failed to accomplish. Well, let's just go ahead and read on that, and then we'll back up for our next study and possibly do Timely Greetings, Volume 2, Number 1. This is Number 2, One Shepherd to Accomplish What a Multitude of Them Failed to Accomplish. Okay, let's turn to Ezekiel 34, the chapter we are to study today, verse 1 and 2. And the word of the Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim unto the shepherd, Woe be unto the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Ezekiel, we read, was given a vision of selfish, greedy, and unworthy shepherds. Now the first thing of importance is to ascertain whether these selfish shepherds lived in Ezekiel's day, before his day, or after his day? To find this information, let us read Ezekiel 34, 23 and 24. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Yahweh, will be their Elohim, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Yahweh, have spoken it. The self-centered shepherds against whom the prophet is told to write are to be replaced by one shepherd, David. When this takes place, Elohim's people will then have but one shepherd. This cannot be Yahshua himself, for the inspiration never calls him David, but rather it calls him the son of David. Since Elohim's people have always had and still do have many shepherds, the truth stands out as clear as crystal that the David of verse 23 and 24 is yet to come, and that the shepherds whom inspiration addresses are in particular those whom David is to succeed. Ezekiel then was not given a vision of the shepherds in his day, nor of those before his day, but of the shepherds after his day, the day in which Elohim raises up this antitypical David to feed his hungry and neglected flock. Elohim's people shall then no longer serve strangers, but they shall serve Yahweh their king and David, Yahshua their king and David their Yahshua their savior and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Jeremiah 30 verse 9. Here we see that not only Ezekiel, but Jeremiah also was given a vision of this same truth. Yes, all the prophets. Okay, it says Ezekiel 37, 24, 25, and David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Does that mean throughout eternity when it says forever? Well, it didn't differentiate there between forever as long as this world stands or forever through eternity. It just plainly stated that their prince forever. Since this is the addition to the third angel's message, early writing, page 277, and since it is the message of the hour, consequently the day of the Davidian kingdom is at hand. Let us turn to Hosea 3, 4, and 5, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. Afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Yahshua their Savior, and David their king, and shall fear the Yahshua and his goodness in the latter days. The many days are now almost over, and the time for the fulfillment of the Yahweh's promises is certainly at the threshold of our time. Ezekiel 34:3. You eat the fat, and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The shepherds in the day that the kingdom is to be set up are accused of taking all they can possibly take from the sheep, and have not given any care to the sheep. This must not become our practice. Ezekiel 34, 4 and 5. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat unto all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. For this careless attitude on the part of the shepherds is causing the laity to wander from one ism to another in search of the spiritual food and physical care. Yes, they wander, so to speak, from one hill to another, many of whom have figuratively become meat for beasts. Ism, because there is no shepherd to care for the sheep, but there are shearers to take the wool from their backs and the fat from under their ribs. Shameful indeed, who dare refuse to declare what Elohim says. Ezekiel 34:6-10. My sheep wander through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, the flock were scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Yahweh. As I live, saith Yahweh Elohim, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat unto every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock. But the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O you shepherds, hear the word of the Yahweh. Thus saith the Yahweh Elohim, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. Let us not fool ourselves any longer. Elohim cannot be mocked. He will not forever forsake his sheep, neither will he forever retain untrustworthy shepherds herding his sheep. He will soon discharge them and will demand that they give an account for their unfaithfulness. So it is that what a multitude of shepherds have failed to do, one shepherd, even David, will in Yahweh's hands get done. Ezekiel 34:13. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land and feed them from the mountains of Israel, by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. In the days of this antiquity, David, Yahweh gathers his flock. Okay. So we're in the days of this antiquity, David. And the days of this antiquity, David, had its beginning in 2002, the term of Texas, starting the judgment of the living. So it says, Yahweh will no longer leave them in the mountains and the hills of the Gentiles. Okay. So we're going to have to pray and fast for Yahweh to give us insight when it's time to gather the children of Israel from among the Gentiles. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Now this land is the United States, is Texas. Afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek to Yahshua their Savior and David their king, and shall fear the Yahshua and his goodness in the latter days. Texas is going to be turned into a veritable oasis, a Garden of Eden type atmosphere. First we have to have a warfare here. We're not going to really have a warfare so much as what it says in Isaiah 31:9. It says, and they shall pass back over their stronghold for fear of the ensign. Okay. So the enemies are going to pass back over their stronghold wherever they come from, out of the land, for fear of the ensign. And that ensign is wherever Yahshua and the son of David, Yahshua and his servant David is set up the kingdom. That's where the ensign is set up. And that ensign has been set up right here in Liberty Hill, Texas. So Ezekiel 34:11-16. So thus saith Yahshua Messiah, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. But you see, I was one of those sheep that was scattered there at Gilead Center. I had made my way into that feeding pasture at Gilead Center. And Yahshua sought me out 33 years later after I had made my way into Gilead Center. He separated me from the bad sheep there, the bad goats, and Gilead sinner. He sought me out. So will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in a cloudy and dark day. I was in the Adventist church, and he pulled me out of there and put me in another feeding pasture. I was in a feeding pasture of Bashan, feeding pasture that had dried up for many years. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and will cause them to lie down, saith the Yahweh Elohim. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Elohim has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take a charge of the flock himself. Elohim has never made the flock wholly dependent upon the human instrumentality, but the day of the purification of the church will hasten on apace. Elohim will have a people, pure and true, and the mighty shifting soon to take place. We shall be better able to measure the strength of Israel. The signs reveal that the time is near when the Yeshua will manifest that his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Testimony, Volume 5, page 80. Well, he thoroughly purges the floor at Gilead Center, and he's going to thoroughly purge the floor of Bashan, the Seventh-day Adventist, when he brings forth that 144,000. Ezekiel 34:17. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Inspiration now turns from the shepherds and speaks to the flock, to the laity, and warns that there are two kinds of cattle, two classes of laity, rams and he-goats. This is therefore a warning unto them, and we must not fail to declare it, and they must not fail to hear and act. For this very cause are the timely greetings published and scattered as the leaves of the autumn. This brings the close of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archives. Hear this message and more. Let us close now with a song. Okay, end of our study this hour. We're going to now close with a song that I've written back in 1997. I started in 1997 and finished it in 2006. A fountain has been opened. Shall I walk through life and I have not seen, there's nothing to compare. Through God's faith, he's tempered with his grace. For those who know, God has made it known. A fountain has been opened to cleanse the morning soul. For bread can provide a long time to food. Earth's great pleasure. Heavenly Father can do. easy to explain. What can be shaken will surely remain. A power has an open and a longing soul. For it's been provided a long time ago. Earth's greatest treasure lies in the hands to hold. So take hold of the love. With a soul never died, for the touch of a land of endless light. On long across that river, where our plans will live forever, and the land where the sun never dies. And we have an open and a longing soul, for grace and provided. Take hold of the love-giving power.